right back.
Welcome to Upshift, episode zero. This is the No Direction Network's Essence 20 news, previews, and interviews podcast. I'm Ryan Costello.
And I'm Jefferson J. Thacker, also known as Param.
I said this is episode zero because we want to make sure that this podcast, this brand new podcast that we're releasing, works according to the way we think it should work. For those who are not familiar, Param and I have been podcasting together for some 15 years, 10 to 15 years, somewhere in that range. And we've been hosting the No Direction podcast, which is a Pathfinder news, reviews, and interviews podcast. This is going to be following the same format, but the circumstances have changed. Instead of just being a couple of fans who occasionally do work for the publisher, I work in reasonably close to full-time for Renegade Games, the publishers of the Essence 20 system. I co-designed the system, and I'm one of the featured authors on the next book in the Essence 20 role-playing system catalog, which is the G.I. Joe role-playing game. So this being a biased podcast is on a whole new level beyond what we were doing on No Direction.
Yeah, almost as biased as No Direction's become since we brought Luis Loza in.
That's true, yeah. So if people are familiar with No Direction, it's got Paizo staff on it. What happens, Param? We become fans and then we become employees.
Yeah, it seems to work. Well, we've always been enthusiast press, which is kind of where we've marketed. And the old tagline for No Direction used to be the completely biased news review interviews podcast.
Yeah, it's just there's bias and then there's this, which is like it's a spotlight podcast. We are definitely going to be talking about the news. We're going to be talking about the things that we are excited about this system, with the caveat that there's a lot of the system that I am proud of and excited to talk about.
Mm-hmm, right.
Now, we've talked about the No Direction podcast, which, you know, this being the No Direction Network, that is the flagship podcast. This is our newest podcast. For people who don't know us, Param, we should introduce ourselves.
Well, you should go first.
I should go first. I've been talking already.
Darn it. All right. Well, I am Jim J. Thacker, also known as Param. I've been a longtime gamer and podcaster for the past decade and a half. You may know me as such roles as the person that says, uh-huh, to Ryan several times an hour on No Direction, or the person who puts on this weird accent to play Glanville on Adventurers, as well as the nerd who made Param's spellbook and various other things, as well as emceeing for Paizo at PaizoCon.
You make the No Direction Network go.
Oh, yeah. I'm mostly responsible for the chewing gum and duct tape contraption that is the No Direction Network's tech side, with lots of support lately from Randall.
Well, shout out to Randall Mayer. Yeah.
Thank you, Randall. You're one of the reasons the website hasn't exploded.
Whereas I'm on the front end. If you see things being scheduled, if you see the content that is making it to to the public consumption, that's more my side of what I do at the network. I am the director of logistics. I am also a longtime gamer. And as you can probably tell from the background, I am a huge G.I. Joe fan. Actually, Paige Lightman, one of the co-authors of G.I. Joe, she is in chat right now. And she is a doctor of marine biology, I believe. And she once said that I know more about G.I. Joe than she knows about marine biology.
Ooh, she must know a lot about marine biology.
She does, from what I've seen.
That's a fair comparison.
So what is our plan for Upshift, Param? What do we want this podcast to be?
Well, I kind of have one format of podcast I'm good at, which is we talk about the news of the thing we're excited about, and then we interview people who make it.
That's right. I had a couple of ideas for who we could interview on the debut episode. But again, this is not the debut episode. This is episode zero. This is the trial run. So I just wanted it to be you and I just making sure that we could talk about this in an entertaining and biased, but still informative way.
As far as my 80s nerd cred is, I have nothing in my background of knowledge that would even come close to scratching your G.I. Joe encyclopedic, but I am a huge Power Rangers fan and a huge Transformers fan, and I like G.I. Joe an awful bunch, but I do not have the encyclopedic knowledge.
Which is good, because I'm a big G.I. Joe fan. I am also a big My Little Pony fan, and My Little Pony is something that Renegade has also announced they have the license to produce RPGs for. And I like Transformers, but I don't know Transformers. I don't even know if I can name every season one era character. Forget.
I mean, that's a big ask, because that's a big cast.
Well, I wasn't saying all of Generation One. I'm saying Season One. That's just a couple dozen, right?
No, that's most of Generation. Season one was super extended. Like, they did that with those first run cartoons in the 80s, where they would get like 50 plus episodes. And it wasn't until they had to like completely redo the toy line that we got the movie and then the stuff that happened in that movie.
Yeah. G.I. Joe handled that a little bit better than Transformers did.
Mostly because of how Transformers handled it.
So anyway, as much as I am a fan of Transformers conceptually, and I have some fond memories, I don't know it very well. And that I still eclipses my knowledge of Power Rangers. Most of what I know about Power Rangers, I learned from Toy Galaxy, the YouTube channel, which is an amazing YouTube channel. It's extremely informative and it's fun. But like, that's hardly, like, I definitely do not have my fingers in the dough when it comes to Power Rangers.
And I'm super hopeful for, I really like the concept of the Power Rangers and the Super Sentai and all the possibilities that that gives, not just with the main franchise, like the Power Rangers franchise, but like, I'm also a big fan of like most of the Sentai shows, the Kamen Riders, the Gridmans, and even the like purely Western inventions, like Mystic Knights of Tyr and Og, which is a really good show that deserves more love.
What is that?
So Saban wanted to make more show, but you're running out of stuff to bring over. So like, they made an entire Power Ranger style show with Western actors front to back, where they were instead knight in medieval times, channeling Irish and Celtic powers to fight monsters, but they would turn into these like Power Ranger suit type knighthoods in order to fight the evil powers that the sorceresses were bringing on. And it was great. It was wonderful. Like, this,
I remember now, because I had a McDonald's toy from that show that I did not know what that was. And then years later, watching Toy Galaxy, I was like, I recognize that design. That McDonald's toy.
It was unfortunately one of the shows that died before it could live.
Well, Param, I believe we're done introducing ourselves. Are we ready to move on to the news?
Sure. What kind of news we got?
Well, the Power Rangers role-playing game is out, and that means that Essence 20 has officially debuted. People who went to Free RPG Day in 2020... I'm sorry, I forgot what year it was for a second there. What year is it, Param?
It's 2022 right now, but okay. 2021 would have been the Free RPG Day.
Param, for a minute there, I would have sworn it was 2021. No. Okay, sorry.
It's just the year that refuses to die.
No kidding. So if you went to Free RPG Day 2021, you could have picked up Enter the Collection, which was the first official Essence 20 product that came out. It was a system agnostic, or not system, but like world agnostic Essence 20 adventure that was meant to come out around the same time as the core rulebooks. And so it doesn't have like starter rules or anything. And so it just said, here's an adventure for a system nobody knows how to run. So that's just been sitting on people's shelves for months. And now that the Power Rangers role-playing game is out, we finally have the first Essence 20 core rulebook on the shelves for people to get. It's out in every capacity as of today. So you can get the hardcover. It's available at renegadegamestudios.com, which is the web store of the publisher. The PDF is available. And just today, they updated to a higher resolution version of the PDF.
Ooh, I need to re-download it then.
Go ahead.
Re-download it, because I've still got the original day of release version.
Right. So for people that had pre-ordered the hardcover, you got the PDF 2 weeks ago. And one of the complaints about the PDF was that the resolution was iffy. People were even concerned that that was the one that was sent to print, which is not the case. It was a lower resolution one that was specifically easier to download, easier on machines. And some people were not happy with it. And so a higher resolution version has been uploaded with clearer, crisper pictures.
Nice.
And the Power Rangers RPG is also available on Roll20. There is a Power Rangers RPG assets pack that includes the core rulebook, an RPG art pack, which I'm told has 160 some odd tokens, and the Fool's Errand adventure, as well as the maps to run it.
Nice.
Now, Dragon Elvage is in chat, and he's saying, as a Canadian, better to get the physical or the PDF. I'm still not sure what the status is about shipping the hardcover to Canada directly from Renegade. I believe that Canadian game stores have ordered it, and I believe you can go to your friendly local game store and pick it up. But I know that a sticking point for a lot of my fellow Canadians has been that the pre-orders were not available. And Renegade has said anytime that they have put up a pre-order with a pre-order bonus, even if it's limited to where they can ship it, They will hold off some of the exclusive bonus stuff so that when they are able to ship it globally, non-Americans or people that were not in the original, you know, suite of countries that could pre-order it have access to the bonus material. You don't lose out for being from the wrong country.
And the bonus this time was the PDF.
That's right. So I believe that when they figure out what's going on with shipping to Canada, they will give Canadians a window where if you order the book, you will get the PDF along with it for free. Now, there is a second part to his question. Well, he's basically saying, is it better to get the physical copy or the PDF? I answered the question of how do you even get the PDF or the physical copy in Canada? So a lot of questions came up after the book was released, and it was realized by Renegade that there needs to be an errata and probably an updated version of the PDF as soon as possible. So to the question of whether it's better to get the physical copy or the PDF, I do still believe that there is value in getting the physical copy, that it is a good looking book that is fun to have on your shelf. But if you are concerned about when a second print will come out, there is already plans in motion to do an updated PDF, which will be the version that goes to print for a reprint of the book. The more people buy the physical copy now, the sooner we can get to a version two, a volume, not a second edition, but like the updated errated version of the rulebook. So it's kind of a catch 22. If you are holding out for the first edition to sell through, the longer or the more people hold out, the longer we all have to wait for it.
So what I'm going to do is what I've done with games like 4th edition and other games that have had notorious errata, it is where I will have the original version because Elm Collector, and that is what I do. And then I'm going to get some archive tape and print off the relevant pages of the PDF and then just very carefully cut out, not from the book, but from the printouts, the exact thing that gets errated, and use archive tape to place to tape it into place in my first edition book so that it is up to date and useful.
And I guess archive tape doesn't damage the original copy?
Right.
Yeah. Because I know we've, like at one point we were reviewing a book with a perforated handout in the back.
No.
And I took out the perforated page. Yes, a very similar reaction to that. It was more visceral because you actually watched me do it. But yes, knowing you and your bibliophilia, I do not expect you to actually be gluing permanently in these printed out pages into your hard copies.
I'm very glad that there appear to be no perforated pages in the Power Rangers core rulebook, Ryan.
Do you have your physical copy?
No.
Okay, you're still working off the PDF.
I'm going through the PDF, and I see no places for a perforation to exist or be needed.
I mean, I don't think this is the case, but they could have perforated the character sheet. There we go, the character sheet.
Please don't. I mean, it's something you can just download a better version of it from the, like, yes, you can take this character sheet and photocopy it like a, you know, like a caveman and doing it the old fashioned way, but you can just download the character sheet for free off the website and print it in much better quality.
You know, perforation, the idea is that it's a perk, and for you, it is such a bug to the point of it being an insult or an attack.
I just like taking care of my things, Ryan.
I know you.
Do you open your G.I. Joes? I know you do.
Yeah, for the most part. I have a small selection of sealed samples. Some of them are because the whole presentation. Actually, I can grab one. So this was, I believe, a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive. It came out the same year as the first G.I. Joe movie. And it is Destro the First and Destro, it's Destro the Ninth and Destro the 24th. So there we go. And it also opens like this, so you can see the schematics of the kind of weapons that Destro the Ninth was dealing with. And then in the back, it opens up to the more modern schematics that Destro is dealing with. And actually, if I wanted to, it is designed that I could take the two carded figures out through the top. And I was going to say you could also remove them from the package and it was resealable, which was like a trend for a while in action figures, but I would be wrong. It looks like this is the traditional glued to the blister card. So anyway, this is something that I don't need these figures loose on the shelf. And I really like this display, which loses something if I were to ever take the action. So that is the kind of thing that I keep in package. But for the most part, I only have a couple of vintage mint on card figures. And nothing I have mint on card is like the only copy of that toy that I have.
I am jealous that you're able to live such a free life, Ryan. It must be wonderful.
Free, like, of toy packaging?
Of worrying about devaluing your toys.
Oh, I mean, I definitely have some yellow figures that were originally white. And I was like, I knew what I should have done 20, 30, 40 years ago. Okay, but not 40 years ago, but 30 years ago when I started collecting more maturely, I knew what I should have done to preserve the whiteness and the crispness of some of these figures. And I did not. But the other thing is that, like, of all the 80s toys, G.I. Joe was one of the cheapest. Like even stuff like Mask that had cheaper figures, you could only get them if you bought the whole vehicle. Whereas G.I. Joe, you can get a G.I. Joe for a buck or two. And so there were millions of these out there. When you're an adult collector, it's just like, oh, wow, everyone had 100 G.I. Joes, even if you weren't really into it. So it was really easy to get them for cheap. And it felt like G.I. Joes, vintage G.I. Joes would be around forever and that there would be a constant resupply on eBay, which there is not. The army builders gained value very quickly. And now just the entire line is extremely valuable. And I just look at the ones that like I've broken their thumbs in more recent years. And I'm like, that's now actually very hard for me to replace. And I don't know what I'm going to do about that.
But you know what's not cheap today?
What's not cheap today?
The Power Rangers toys.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they have a very high collector's resale value. And those original Zords are stupid expensive on the secondary market.
Okay, I didn't realize we were talking about vintage. I thought maybe you meant the new ones, the 6-inch style, which
no, they're normal toys price.
Okay, all right, well anyway, we are still in the news section, Param. So as I was talking about when we were talking about there would be an update to the PDF, there is upcoming errata for the Power Rangers role-playing game. As soon as the book released, actually when it pre-released, when the PDF got into the collector's hands, there were a lot of questions, a lot of areas that were not as clear as people wanted them to be, and just some content that people thought the book needed to be in there, even if it wasn't necessarily promised by Renegade. So the next two news items are about dealing with the reaction to the people that first got the PDF a couple of weeks ago. One of them is that the Renegade is collecting official RPG gameplay questions. The main place that you should be placing your questions is in a Facebook page. It is the Power Rangers Tabletop Gamers by Renegade Game Studios page. That is the one that is officially run by Renegade. And Matt Holland made a post asking people to collect all their questions into a single source so that when they're going through the errata, they can go through that one collection of, at this point, it's a couple hundred questions to make sure that they catch everything that people are catching. Because there's definitely been some things that even just like based on the Essence 20 system, I saw some people talking about and was like, that doesn't sound right. And through conversation, I realized that there were some things that were worded differently than I expected them to be in the Power Rangers. So we do have a couple of the main points that we're going to talk about. Later in this episode, Param and I will be building characters using the Power Rangers role-playing game. And whenever these main points come up, I will bring them up and just make sure that people understand what rules from the conversations that are online versus what's in the rule book, which ones are the official ones that will be in the errated copy. Param, have you been following any of the official RPG gameplay questions thread?
Nope, I didn't know it existed, so I feel bad.
Oh, Bear Force in chat is saying that the thread has been helpful, which is good. It's good to know. So Renegade was very quick to react to the feedback that the PDF was getting to make sure that they stayed ahead of it, to make sure that people could play the game. That was the main thing. Everyone was on the same page in that everyone wanted to play role-playing game, play the Power Rangers role-playing game, get the Power Rangers game to the table, and any of the obstacles to getting that to the table, Renegade wanted to address as quickly as possible. And then the other way that they are addressing some of the issues that people have brought up is that February is Ranger Month. So Matt Holland once again announced that February is Power Rangers month, and there will be fairly frequent, if not daily, I believe it's daily blog content on the Renegade website to help out GMs and players that want more content for the Power Rangers role-playing game, starting with Monster of the Week Mondays. So one of the reactions that the book got was that there's just not enough threats, which is the name of our catch-all name for the monsters that you'll face, the bad guys that you'll be up against. And so once a week, a stat block based on an existing Power Rangers creature will be posted for free on the Renegade website. It's Monster Week Mondays. Let me just double check what else he's saying. Speaking of creating your own. Oh, and there we go. And they are going to publish a guide for threat creation because once again, there's a small catalog of threats. And there's no rules for creating your own threats in the Power Rangers core rulebook, which is, it's a bad combination. If there were more threats, there would be less need for a threat creation guide. With neither of them, it really did leave GMs with not a whole lot of options other than waiting for more Power Rangers content to come out to gain more options like that.
Yeah, and I am really glad, because that was one of my concerns when reading through the book as well, is like, especially with Power Rangers, the threats are usually Monster of the Week kind of threats, besides your generic putties and tingus that you're going to be fighting, or whatever the minion level monster is for your version of the Power Rangers that you're going to be playing. And they were they're very specific, and they're very memorable. They're not meant to really repeat themselves very often. So a lot of times it's going to be fight this monster one and done. I need a new monster. And also, half the fun of GM being a GM for a Power Ranger style game is going to be coming up with these wacky monster combinations. I want the hot dog bazooka monster. I want, And like, that would not be the strangest monster the Rangers have ever fought. I mean, there's a pig monster with a fork and a spoon that eats things. They have all sorts of fun with their monsters, and I want to enjoy that kind of creative fun. And more importantly, I also want to see what the community comes up with, because with a community as engaged as the Power Rangers community seems to have become with the imminent launch of this game and the now launch of this game, I just want to like tap in as a fan to that creative energy and play with some of these wonderful, strange creations that I'm sure the fans are going to be up to.
And something else that I had mentioned this to some of the people that were talking on the Renegade Discord, they were concerned about what this meant for the G.I. Joe and Transformers role-playing game. So G.I. Joe has, I believe, 30 unique threats and then another dozen or so Cobra vehicles that you can use. So we have a much larger threat section in the PDF that I know has gone to print. So this isn't just what was turned over. There will be a significant amount of threats in the G.I. Joe book. But also for G.I. Joe and Transformers, you could use the character creation rules to approximate the threats in those two brands. Cobra and G.I. Joe are both military, paramilitary. They're very similar in what you can do with them. Same thing for Autobots and Decepticons. They're all transforming robots of a certain size, of a certain power level. Power Rangers just happen to be the one that come out first and happen to be the one where there's no parallel between the good guys and the bad guys. It's completely different.
Well, do we know if the threat rules we're getting are going to be Power Ranger specific threat rules or Essence 20 generic threat rules?
That's a good question. Let me just read specifically what is said on the Facebook page. Speaking of creating your own threats, we're going to publish a guide to threat creation and use, providing some much requested tools for GMs. This will walk you through the process, prime you to put your creativity to work. This will be a free PDF download available to all. So it mentions neither Power Rangers or Essence 20. So there's nothing we can extrapolate from that. Other than that, it's coming out in Rangers month. So I feel like it will be leaning more towards Ranger threat. But I mean, well, like, if you watched any of the G.I. Joe cartoons, there were things like the Fatal Fluffies, which were just 10-foot tall, gray, ogre-y monsters, and things like that. So, like, if you need threats that the G.I. Joe role-playing game core rulebook does not cover, and Fatal Fluffies are not in the G.I. Joe role-playing game core rulebook, or are even mentioned, then you can use these same rules to create threats for your G.I. Joe game when the G.I. Joe role-playing game eventually comes out.
Right. And because one of my dream games to run with Essence 20 is going to be inspired by SSS Gridman, I will very much want Power Ranger style heroes fighting Transformer style monsters.
What is SSS Gridman?
So Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad, the American show that was based off of one of the Gridman, which is a Sentai show in Japan, it got the Saban treatment. Well, eventually, that show was beloved. And eventually a new anime based off of Gridman was released that is heavily inspired by the American Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad show. So they actually named it SSS Gridman as an homage to that American version of their show. And the anime is awesome and has already gotten a sequel. And so it is great. And honestly, when we are doing the watch show, eventually I'm going to sneak that anime into one of our watches.
We'll have to bring up the watch show later when we're doing the shout outs. So does this compare at all to Inhumanoids?
Ooh, close. It compares close to Inhumanoids.
Okay. So for people that may not remember, in the 80s, there was a show called Inhumanoids, which was basically power armored humans, power armor that made them like about the size of Ripley in the big yellow mech suit. I don't remember what it was called. I think the power lifter versus kaiju. So a giant plant person, a giant skeleton zombie guy that was super gross, and a giant demon guy. And it was humans versus monsters, very similar to what you were saying, Param. And except for, you would run it the same way, G.I. Joe plus Power Rangers elements.
Except for this time, it's going to be kind of in reverse, where you're going to get tiny, you're going to get cybered, you're going to go into computers.
Okay.
Into alternate realities and stuff.
The scale of, like, PC to threat is about the same?
Yes, but eventually you do get to put your Megazord on and aim, yeah.
Well, apparently that... Oh, wait, sorry, we are still talking about Power Rangers Month because there is also material that players can look forward to. Player side, Matt Holland says, we'll be going through the character creation process with some of the Renegade staff, providing not only a handy reference for anyone running into questions along the way, but also showcasing the system's flexibility for creating whatever sort of ranger you want. Additionally, we'll be posting some pre-regenerated characters on our online store for free. These are ready to go and perfect for new players looking to jump in right away.
Those rangers are already up. I downloaded them today.
Nice. Yeah. So over the last year, there Essence 20 has been making the tour at gaming conventions, and people were running and playing Essence 20 games, Power Rangers, Transformers, and G.I. Joe. I believe Transformers. I'm not positive, but I definitely know that G.I. Joe and Power Rangers games were being played, and pre-gens were made for that. So those pre-gens have been updated. They've been polished a little bit, and now they are available for public consumption. And then finally, for everyone, we've, says Matt Holland, been hard at work rounding up community questions, which we talked about earlier, Pam, into a comprehensive living FAQ document. We want to clarify any portions of the book that are giving you trouble, and we'll cite any relevant portions of the book whenever relevant for easy reference. So that's what you can look forward to in February. As a Power Rangers fan, it is supplemental material to help get the most out of the Power Rangers role-playing game core rule.
And one of the things I am glad about is that Renegade is responding quickly to fan feedback and releasing supplemental material and answering the needs that are coming up, because that's one of the best things that can be done with any RPG launch or any product launch is... Like, there's always going to be problems with version one of anything. There's a reason that the joke goes around in tech, never buy version one of anything. And so with the advantage with role-playing games is we're easily able to errata things and respond to them. And to see, like, if this had gone the other way, and which there was a lot of fan feedback in the negative, and then, like, Renegade had been like, you just don't understand the game. You should learn the game better, noobs, which is absolutely not what they've done. Then I would have been like, Ryan, I don't think I can be part of this podcast anymore.
You just don't understand the game, noob. No, if there's anyone that understands games, I have total faith in your ability to digest a new role-playing system quickly, get how the mechanics work, get where the fun is and how it brings the fantasy to
life. And so far, like, the Essence 20 system is kind of right in my sweet spot of crunch and freedom that I like from both the demo game I've got to play with you and from what I've read of the Power Rangers game, of where it's got this nice lightweight system. It seems to handle things very fast. And more importantly, it has enough crunchy bits that my actual gamer nerd gets to crunch in. Because while I do like games like Fate, where it's a lot more freeform and it's a whole lot more, can I argue the point for this to my GM to make sure that this applies? And that can be fun. I do also like it when I can go, but then I can upshift this and then tie in this keyword, and I'm going to be able to do 2 damage to 3 enemies instead of just 1 damage to 1.
Nice. I'm glad to hear that, because there was definitely concern that it's like, is this too light? Is this too heavy? And it was strange that those were the 2 questions, but I guess that just kind of shows that we were kind of threading the needle of a little bit complicated, but not too complicated.
Right. I find this is like more complicated than the new Robotech game that I'm really a fan of.
Okay.
And less complicated than Savage Worlds, which is probably the game that this is closest to system-wise.
Okay. And you're a big fan of Savage Worlds.
Yeah. And so I like that. I like that. Yes. And I am a big fan of Savage Worlds.
Param, are we ready to create a character?
I think so. We're going to make a Power Ranger, right?
You know what? It's funny you should say that. I decided that for my character, I'm going to try and make Snake Eyes
as a Power Ranger. Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay. Let's do this. Let's make Snake Eyes.
All right. So in the character creation process, in any Essence 20 game, you have your 3 main choices that affect all the rest of your character. And the main other tools that they affect are your skills and your essences, which we'll get to. But the 3 things you need to know about are your role, your origin, and your influences. So let's go with biggest to smallest. Your role is the Essence 20 equivalent of class in most other games. It is... Mm-hmm. The path you are on, it is the one that as you level up, you will be gaining the majority of your new abilities from it. And really, when you are doing a thing in combat or a thing in a scene, usually you are doing a thing tied into your role.
And in essence, 20's Power Rangers RPG, that is your ranger color.
That's right. So every one of the five basic colors plus green. I don't know. I'm trying to explain Power Rangers as though I have any clue. I recall, there were the five Rangers and the Green Ranger was like a wild card Ranger.
Yeah. And the Green Ranger in Mighty Morphin definitely came in as like this big surprise special Ranger to come in. But Green has shown up in other shows as a more normal Ranger. So like that's not like definitely Green is usually more often than not the wild card Ranger, but doesn't need to be the wild card Ranger. They can absolutely just be normal team member number six.
Well, regardless of which system you're using, the purpose of the role is pretty similar in that you'll get some essence upgrades. Essence is being like your ability scores. You'll get essence upgrades right off the bat tied to the role you fill on the team based on your role. And then your essence progression will be tied to it, as well as perks that you get at every level, which are called role perks because they come from your role. So for G.I. Joe, we've just got like specialty names like Officer and Commando. In the case of Ranger, like Param said, it's tied to your spectrum. So you can choose to be a Black Ranger, Blue Ranger, Green Ranger, Pink, Red, and Yellow. And each of these are tied to a theme of what someone on the team would be doing. Okay. Descriptivist is asking the question, can I multiclass? I can tell you that there are ways to multiclass in other sources that would be compatible with this book. It's not straight up multiclassing, but there are multiclass-like options in the works. And I've said too much.
Yeah, but in this core game, you can't multi-class, but you can change your class.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that is something that I believe is exclusive to Rangers. I don't know what the Transformers team did about changing your roles. But yeah, just because you start as a certain energy color doesn't mean that you are stuck with that for the entire campaign.
Right. And in fact, one of the only way to play the special color Ranger, and the one they give an example of in this book is the White Ranger, is you have to take a perk to Spectrum Shift, which is the rule that lets you change colors from one color to the other. And only by Spectrum Shifting can you even make a White Ranger.
So looking at the six basic ones, not counting the white one, we've got the Black Ranger, which is described as a skilled warrior whose charm and personality helps form the bonds between the team. Blue Ranger is a clever technology expert with the strongest understanding of the Morphin Grid. Green is capable of working with the team, but excels at surviving against all odds. Pink, an eagle-eyed sharpshooter, always aware of their surroundings. Red is a strong fighting spirit that leads from the front of any conflict. And Yellow is fast and nimble. This warrior is good at exploiting an enemy's weaknesses.
So Black is like Battle Bard, and I don't think it fits Snake Eyes very well.
No. So other than, you know, chromatically.
Right.
Looking at those, funny enough, the one that I think fits Snake Eyes the best is Yellow. Fast and nimble, warrior is good at exploiting an enemy's weakness.
I would argue Green or White.
All right. Why Green?
Okay, so Green because Snake Eyes often acts solo away from the team and is often forced to do things contrary to the more of like the team's doing something else, but I have to do something over here. And the Green Ranger has a lot of abilities that line up with that. White as well is good, especially because that then gets to extend to the Zord option that Snake Eyes will inevitably take.
What Zord does the White Ranger
get? So the White Ranger had the Tiger Zord and then got upgraded to the Falcon Zord. And in both cases, those Zords often fought independently, even when the rest of the Zords would go Megazord. And then only in times of greatest need would combine with the Megazord to super hype it up. And because Snake Eyes is often on solo missions, I think White is might be the best option for Snake Eyes.
All right, but now let's go mechanics. The problem with White is that I would need to take one of the origins that gets me a general feat at first level, right?
Yes.
Like, so White can be a long-term plan. Like, I can change to White at fourth level, but let's disqualify it from our options just so that we don't limit my origin options right off the other game.
Okay.
So we've talked about Green and Yellow. Looking at the essences, Green is +2 strength, +1 speed. Yellow is +2 speed, +1 smarts. Neither one of those stands out as this is definitely the combination that only one of these could be Snake Eyes. Strength and speed, Absolutely. And there are other sources that I can increase my speed, because Snake Eyes is definitely going to need finesse, acrobatics, and targeting, and infiltration. He'll need as much speed as he can get. But the strength, actually, what does he need strength for? Maybe for intimidation, maybe for conditioning, which we'll get to when we talk about skills.
I'm about to say something controversial here. Ooh. But because of how freeform Essence 20 is with your allocation of your essence stats, this stat ultimately doesn't matter.
All right. Well, then, if you're suggesting green is the better Snake Eyes color than yellow, I will take your word for it.
That the stats that they give you don't matter, because there's no penalty cost for buying higher level stats like in some other games. Okay. So, yeah.
All right. So let's say I'm playing a green character. So right off the bat, I am trained in light and medium armor. I get 3 power points per day. My starting skills, I can choose to give a bonus to might, conditioning, finesse, or initiative. So that's for getting +2 to strength and +1 to speed. So finesse or initiative, I would probably go with finesse. I will eventually want to bump up that initiative, but I definitely want to be able to use martial arts weapons, light weapons, and make attacks using my finesse skill. Okay. And looking at my options for what I can do with my strength score, I'm looking at, I kind of want to put both into conditioning.
All right. That's easy done.
Are you filling out a character sheet for me,
Brad? I am. And I think I missed some of that. So I've got 3 personal power. I've got strength 2, speed 1. I've got finesse at D2. And I've got conditioning at +2.
Excellent.
And I'm going to pull that character sheet up on screen so that people can see it.
Perfect. So then the next ability you get at first level is called It's Morphin' Time. This is something that all rangers share the same ability. Starting at first level by summoning the energy within you through your power morpher and saying It's Morphin' Time as a standard action, you are enveloped with a stylized shell of morphin' grid energy that serves as your armor, grants you access to your power-based weapons, and many other abilities that require power to activate. So my toughness, which is my defense based on strength, which again we'll get into later when we start going deeper into essences and skills, it would go up by +2 because I have access to both light and medium armor. And unless I have a very specific reason to want light over medium, I would just always go for the higher bonus. My jump distance maximums are tripled. As a free action, I can summon any single power-based weapon to my hands. And when reduced to 0 health, I may choose to avoid defeat by automatically returning to my natural form, unconscious, at 1 health. So this is the core of where, yes, I'm making Snake Eyes, but no, this is not exactly what Snake Eyes is doing. This is Snake Eyes as a Power Ranger.
Yeah, it's not outside the realm of possibility that he would be selected by the morphing grid as the most viable candidate to be the next Green Ranger.
I buy it. All right, solo strike. Starting at first level, the Green Ranger is skilled at picking a single target and going at it one-on-one. This role perk allows you to make a special kind of melee attack by making only a single attack against an adjacent target, which is also not adjacent to any of your allies. You may apply the dice shifts listed on the table above. So in this case, at first level, that's upshift 1 just for attacking a target that's not adjacent to any of my allies.
Right. And this is the single ability that I thought Snake Eyes would be a Green Ranger for, because Snake Eyes is often by himself.
Yeah, and like he'll just kind of creep off and show up somewhere else on the battlefield and take somebody out. So you're right, Param. In that case, regards, this is a very Snake Eyes ability. I also got a unique weapon to aid you in wielding the green energy. You are given a special unique power weapon at first level. This weapon has a special ability attached to it, but also a risk of some kind. At first level, you may choose or roll randomly from the following table to create different aspects. So this is where I'm a little like, oh, what one weapon represents Snake Eyes? Because he's got like 3 trademark weapons. He's got the katana is usually the sword that he uses. He uses a submachine gun, usually an Uzi. And he uses a small offhand weapon that lately has been a Kumatok Ray, I believe it's called. And so in this case, being limited to a single weapon.
You are also going to get your power blaster knife. So that's going to exist. Yeah.
So in this case, if we go with the small melee finesse weapon, that'll represent his melee option. And the blaster that you talked about will represent the Uzi that he's known for.
Well, the blade blaster changes from a small blade to a blaster.
That's even better. That covers all 3 weapons that we just talked about. Perfect.
Mm-hmm. So which one is a special
weapon? We did not set this up. That may feel like we're like, but wait, there's more. But no, that was actually, I was legitimately concerned about this. And Param, you made a choice that perfectly covers Snake Eyes' 3 trademark weapon.
So which one is getting the super upgrade?
Oh, that's a good question. I guess the blade versatile blaster melee.
Can't become a katana.
Yeah, okay. So that would be the versatile melee weapon. It's miter finesse, which we'll go with a finesse version of that. And we'll say his katana is his favored weapon, even though purists will point out that the first Snake Eyes came with an Uzi, but not a sword. He just came with a knife. Or no, he didn't even come with a knife. He came with a bomb charge. But anyway, most people know Snake Eyes version 2, which is the one with the knight's visor and incorporated more of the ninja aesthetic and background to the character. And that's the one I still think of as like the go-to Snake Eyes. So that's the one that we're building towards.
All right. So I'm going to write it down as Power Katana.
Yes.
Yes. Even, and you base it off the power stored sats with the versatile upgrade that you've given.
All right. So then the next one is Survival Boon, which is at second level. So we are going to hold off there. We're just making a first level version of Snake Eyes right now.
Right.
So we've got our first level as far as the role covered pretty well. All right. Next up, we're going to talk about Origins. So Origins is actually fairly nebulously defined depending on which Essence 20 role-playing game you're talking about. The origin is where Transformers get their chassis. So what, form they're going to transform into. In G.I. Joe, it's their military background. Or in the case of citizens that got the field commissions, their non-military, whatever they were doing as a citizen that got the attention of G.I. Joe. And in Power Rangers' case, it is their attitude. Because even I know that Power Rangers are teenagers with attitude and that this is what is bringing them to the attention of, and this is the limit of my knowledge. If I say Zordon, grid. If I say the grid, which one is more accurate, Param?
The grid.
The grid. Okay. Brings them to the attention of the grid. But regardless of what system we're talking about, Origin offers the same mechanical benefit. So it gives you an essence increase. So if you're keeping track, roll gives you 3 boosts, 2-1 and 1-another, although it's a little different depending on the game. And then your origin will give you a single boost to a single essence or a boost to 1 essence from a limited list of essence. It sets your starting health, which is usually 1 or 2, because this is a very low health system. This is something that people are surprised by. It's one of those things that falls into the category of, I'm not critiquing the system. I'm just saying I've noticed how low everyone's hit point. And that's fair. This is something that when you play the system a little more, you realize that it's not as big of a deal as it may seem. All right, bonus skill levels. So this is something that is unfortunately, the way it's written in the book is just not accurate to what we were talking about in the design process and will be updated in the errata. The way it's written in the Power Rangers book, it makes it sound like that whole list of skills that are tied to an origin, you get a D2 in all of them. This is not correct. No matter how clearly it seems to state that in the rules,
right.
This is not the intent. The intent is that your number of skills always ties into, or it always matches your essence score in a single essence. And so when you have something like Athletic, which is the first of the Power Rangers Origins, and it says you get +1 to strength or speed, and then your bonus skill levels, you choose one of those skills tied to the essence that you raised, and that's the one that gets the boost.
Okay. I was very confused because my Power Ranger had a lot of more skills than the Power Ranger pre-gen.
It is very unfortunate because it's not even unclear. It's very clear, but wrong. And it will be covered in the errata, and it's just unfortunate it made it that far without it being flagged for editing. Something else that you get from your origin is your base ground movement. So there are different ways that you can increase your movement and even gain other types of movement, but generally you will get a ground movement, and it'll set the number of feet you can move as a move action. The reason we called it ground movement, or just the reason this is movement and not speed, is that speed is one of the 4 S's for essence, and so we didn't want to reuse that term. So it takes a little getting used to the terminology, but yeah, it's your movement is your speed. It is your speed rate. It is how quickly you can move as a move action.
Right.
Then your origin also sets your starting languages and the rate at which you gain new languages. And finally, you get an origin perk. So every origin has a single perk that's tied to it. Now, like I said, it was the attitude that is tied to the different teenagers. Some of the examples are brainy, comedic, curious, cynical. Param, I think you could guess which one I have in mind for Snake Eye.
I don't think I can, because you always surprise me on your opinions of Snake Eyes.
All right. Well, I was going to go with the tragic origin. Okay. For people who maybe not be familiar with the comic origins of Snake Eyes, he was in a long-range recon patrol in, I think it was the Korean War. Anyway, if we were updating this, assuming the game takes place in 2021, we would probably say somewhere in the Middle East, some Middle East conflict. But in any case, he was out there, had a very rough mission that they lost half of their squad. He got injured. He got his face scarred, which I don't believe is when he lost his voice. I believe he lost his voice in another later military injury. But anyway, so he got scarred, and then he was decommissioned. He went home, and while he was waiting for his family to pick him up at the airport, and they were all very late. Then General Hawk comes up to him and says, "Son, I got some bad news for you. Your entire family, your parents and your twin sister, died in a car accident on the way to pick you up at the airport." And so that's why Tommy, who was one of the members of the Long Range Recon Patrol with him that survived, said, "Listen, you clearly have a lot to deal with right now, and you have nothing keeping you in the United States. Why don't you come with me to Japan, to my family's dojo, and we'll work through your issues through like martial arts training." All that to say, tragic is an appropriate origin for Snake Eyes.
Wow. I never thought I'd see tragic with an upshift before.
I mean, you know, whatever doesn't kill us makes us stronger. That's the idea behind tragic. So looking at how this affects us mechanically, starting health gives us 2 health. That's nice, especially for a melee combat character like Snake Eyes. Essence score options. I can get +1 to any score. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, I am going to put that into speed. Because for all the flexibility we have, like you were saying about the Essence 20 and your ability to allocate your Essence points, speed is still the main ability that I want for my Snake Eyes character.
Right. And this also will let you pick a speed skill right now.
Yes. So my options are driving or infiltration. Absolutely no brainer. Infiltration for Snake Eyes.
Okay. So this will make infiltration a D2.
That's correct. Then I've got my ground movement, which is 30 feet. It's actually one of the slower ones, which is unfortunate for a Snake Eyes build. But that's when I can look into general perks at a later date and see if I can find something that can boost that or possibly give me a climb speed, climb move.
I am surprised that there's such a huge difference between the speeds based on origins. Like athletic gives you 40 and brainy's at 25. And that's a big swing.
Oh, I did not catch that one was as low as 25. So I did not do much design work for origins. I didn't do any of the origins in the G.I. Joe core rulebook. So I don't know what conversations went into deciding just how big the swing should be based on the origin. Mm-hmm. I'd imagine that because tragic has the flexibility of absolutely any essence score increase, mm-hmm. that it had to lose out somewhere and the movement was where it lost out in this case. All right, languages. Learning to share your past with others opened you up to new cultures and modes of communication. You are fluent in your native language, one additional language for each 2 points of social you possess. All right, so let's talk about native language. It was decided instead of just saying your language singular, that native language would actually be a little bit more flexible. And so in the case of someone like Snake Eyes, we could say that both English and American Sign Language count as his native languages. So it does not strictly have to be one language of your country of origin or whatever. We wanted it to be flexible that if your backstory justified additional languages and you can argue that they are your native languages, then they should count. So in the case of Snake Eyes, he would have both English and American Sign Language. And then for additional languages, he would eventually get Japanese is definitely characterful. And then beyond that, I mean, anything I want. It's not like canonically Snake Eyes doesn't talk. And so we don't even get to hear him speak his native languages, let alone a variety of other languages. So those are the 3 languages that I absolutely have to cover for Snake Eyes build. Beyond that, it's whatever I feel like will benefit the character.
Okay. What else does tragic get you?
Tragic gets me an origin perk called Capable of Anything. You do not let your past define you, but it has made you stronger against the odds. Once per scene, you may reroll any die result of 1, but you must accept the new result. I like that. That feels appropriate for Snake Eyes, who's the kind of guy that in clutch situations will be able to pull a win out of nowhere. Which now brings us to the last element of character creation, and that is your influences. So I like influences. I like the concept and I like how we executed them very well. It is a moment in time that defined you as a person. So it doesn't necessarily have to be something that's affected your whole life. It could just be just one time at the right moment, someone gave you words that really spoke to you in that moment, and then that helped define you later on. But it can also be just aspects of your personality. It's actually, it's nice and varied in how you can apply it. As far as what you get mechanically, you get an influence perk. So just similar to the origin perk, similar to the perks we're getting for our roles, it is a single mechanic tied to the theme of what your influence is. There is a second mechanic tied to influences called a hang-up, which is that sometimes this aspect of your personality or this moment in time that affected you in mostly good ways has had negative or counter effects to it. The thing is that you can choose up to 3 influences at character creation, and you only take the hang-up of your second and third influences. So depending on how you arrange which one is considered your primary, secondary, and tertiary, you don't take all three hangups. You just take hangups beyond first. So one of the influences I definitely know I want for Snake Eyes is martial artists. This will represent the time that he spent in Japan with the Urashikage Dojo and learning his martial arts. And if we look at the perk, given the opportunity to observe another martial artist for a minute, you can learn information about their capabilities compared to your own. GM tells you if the creature is equal, superior, or inferior to your threat level, or if their threat level to your character level, as well as their toughness and evasion defenses. I like this a lot for Snake Eyes because a lot of the time Snake Eyes is just pictured standing there staring, and because he's got his entire face covered, because he doesn't say anything, it's usually just kind of like this unsettling moment where Snake Eyes is clearly calculating things and nobody else is privy to what's going on, and it perfectly makes sense that he's just sizing up an opponent to see, like, if things go down, can I take him, and if so, how.
What's the name of that perk?
It's the martial artist influence perk.
Okay.
Influence perks don't have a second name.
Okay.
All right, so then if we look at the hang-up, you can't help but be a show-off and attempts to goad you into action with social abilities gain an edge against you. That doesn't feel like Snake Eyes to me. Snake Eyes is stoic, and he holds his own, and so I will definitely take this as the influence that does not get a hang-up so that I don't have something that I just don't feel applies to my character. And normally I'm pretty happy with just the one influence, but because we are talking about, because we're giving a demonstration of how to do character creation, I believe I should take a second one just to show getting a hang up. So there's a couple of options. One of them is Survivor.
Okay.
Now, a lot of thematically what this covers is covered by Tragic. So I don't absolutely need this to cover all the ground of what Snake Eyes is. But looking at the options, the influence perk is after your hardship. You have honed your survival instinct and you're able to use sheer willpower to overcome stressful situations. So far, so good.
Right.
When faced with an emergency situation or instinctual choice, you gain an edge on a survival or other check related to how to best navigate the situation. Additionally, at any point when your smarts would be lowered to zero, roll a willpower check of 10 or above to keep it at a 1. So I don't know what a willpower check is, so I'm going to have to add that to the list of things we have to address in the errata, because I don't... Willpower is a defense. There is no such thing as rolling a willpower check. So yeah, all of that sounds like it could be useful. It specifically being tied to survival means that I could put a couple of points into survival to reflect his time as a long-range recon patroller. And because it's not specifically tied to survival. Survival is the example they give, but then, or other related checks. So I would probably bump it into survival just because that's the default that the survivor perk seems to apply to. But I really could, anytime I feel like the situation calls for it, I can make a plea to my GM that it's like, I think this is one of the situations where being a survivor of tragedy will come into play. But let's see the hang up. Hardships of your life have been traumatic and have left lasting effects in your consciousness. This may cause you to stumble over your words or freeze like a deer in headlights. While in the presence of the reminder of your survival experience, you are unable to focus on anything else and suffer a snag on all alertness checks. I like the theme. The theme really applies to Snake Eyes having some kind of flashback to just the many terrible things that he's been through. I don't love the idea of getting a snag on alertness checks, but I do think that it is worth it for the role-playing potential of such a hang-up. And I guess I can call out the influence perk gives you an edge. The hang-up gives you a snag. What this is, an edge means that when you're rolling a skill test, you roll 2d20 and you take the better of the two. Snag is the opposite. 2d20 and take the worst of the two.
It's fighting me a little bit.
What's going on?
Just the character sheets are fighting me a little bit. It doesn't allow multiple columns or multiple rows for the influences. Oh, gotcha.
All right, so we've chosen our three main elements of character creation. So now the next thing to do to finish off a first level character is our essence scores. So your four essence scores, your ability scores in this game are your strength, your speed, your smarts, and your social. And each one is then tied to a variety of skills that, you know, reflect when you are a strong character. You are strong specifically in these ways, which is where the skills come in. And then you can be further specific by having a specialization in one of those skills.
Right. And you get 12 points to divide amongst these four scores.
That's right. So what's my speed at right now? That's where I want to focus on.
You've got strength and speed of 2 right now.
Okay. So I definitely need at least one smarts and one social. It's not a functional character without one in each of those. So let's cover those first. I'll probably swing back to those to make sure I have 2 in each. But for now, let's do 1 in social. Let's see. What are we looking at for social skills?
Do you want to get your stats first and then skill, or do you want to skill while you stat?
Let's see. Good question, because I could go either way. All right, I think I want to skill while I stat, because a lot of my decisions for what's going into speed will be based on how far I can stretch those out.
Right. And this is one of the unique things about the Essence 20 game that I kind of got a little chuckle about, which is that in a lot of ways, if it wasn't for the defenses and the fact that these stats could take damage, you could have just said you have pick 12 skills and that's what your character gets to do. But this does a neat thing where the more skills you have in a column actually makes your character better generally at the defenses against things related to those skills. What I mean is like the four defenses are toughness, evasion, willpower, and cleverness. And in order to get a higher toughness, for instance, the way you do that is by putting a lot of skill points into strength related skills, and that is how you'll be a tough character. It's an elegant solution to siloing off character abilities and creating archetypes in a purely skill based game.
Yeah, you know how I feel about siloing options, but in this case, I actually do really think this is a nice, elegant system in that the stronger you get, the stronger you are in multiple ways, the speedier you are in multiple ways. And I think that it's just like there's a cool elasticity relationship between the different skills and their defenses and their essences. All right, so looking at social, the social skills are animal handling, which yeah. I probably do want. But do I want it from first level? Because like, at what point am I going to get my wolf? So that's a maybe. Then we've got deception, which I probably want in case I ever need a diversion. Performance, even though Snake Eyes famously breakdanced on the animated series, I'm going to skip performance as one of his skills. Persuasion is also not his style of getting people to do his way. Streetwise, I might want it. So you know what? Let's just say 3 points in social, which will be a D2 to animal handling, a D2 to deception, and a D2 to streetwise. And if at a later point I'm like, oh, I need to kill something, social is probably one that's going to lose one of it.
Okay.
All right. Next up, we've got smarts. So the smart skills are alertness, culture, science, survival, and technology. I can skip on science and technology. Survival, I want a D2. And once again, to reflect what his role was in the military before, in this case, becoming a Power Ranger.
Right.
And alertness, I want a D2 in.
Okay. I'm noticing you're stopping at D2.
Well, because these are my like lesser important essences.
Okay. I would have thought alertness was big king for Snake Eyes.
Yeah. All right. You've convinced me. Bump alertness up to D4. And as my smartness goes up with my role progression, I believe alertness is going to be the skill I focus on.
Okay.
So I kind of want to put some culture in there.
Social three?
What's that?
So that makes it smarts three, social three?
So, well, that's what I was just debating, whether I want to put a D2 into culture to reflect that he is world traveler, or if I want to skip out on that for now. Now, give me a D2 in culture, so that'll make me smarts for social three. Okay. And again, if I need an essence point somewhere else later, then culture is going to get the cut.
Now, speed and strength, and Snake Eyes needs plenty of both.
So what's the story? I've got 2 points in strength, right? Have I already allocated my skills there?
So you have 6 points left to spend. You have 5 points left to spend. So right now you have 2, 2, 4, 3.
2, 2, 4, 3. And where are my strength skills right now?
Right now you have conditioning at 2.
Okay.
And that's it. And speed, you have finesse at D2 and infiltration at D2.
All right. So the other strength skills I'm looking at are athletics and brawn. But if I have only 5 skills left, then athletics and intimidation is what I was actually looking at. So I'm going to skip on athletics for now, but I will give a bump to intimidation.
Okay.
So that puts me at 3 strength and gives me 4 points to spend on speed.
Which one of these is the melee stat? Might?
Might is the strength-based melee, and finesse is the speed-based melee.
Okay. You're going to focus on finesse melee then.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right. So speed has acrobatics, driving, which even though Snake Eyes has been known to drive a motorcycle, that one's right out just because there's so much else in speed that I need to focus on. Finesse, which you've already started at. Infiltration, we've started at. Initiative, I need at least the D2 in there because I don't want to get a snag in initiative. Now's a good time to talk about how skill checks work. So when you are called on to make a skill test, it will usually tell you what skill to roll, although you can bargain with your GM if you think that you've got a substitute or if you have a perk that flat out gives you a substitute. But then you roll a D20 plus your skill die. And that's what we've been doing now. Every rank that we invest into a skill increases the skill die that you're rolling. So in the case of right now, my infiltration is D20 D2. That means if I'm doing infiltration, I would roll 1d20 and 1d2, and I would add them together. If I put another rank into infiltration, I will get 1d20 plus 1d4 because it bumps up the skill die.
Right.
And if I don't have any ranks, then I am rolling a d20 with a snag. And I do not want to roll a d20 with a snag on in my initiative, which is why I'm looking at investing at least a d2 in initiative. And I guess I said we would go back to talk about conditioning, and I missed my window, so I'm just going to go back. Conditioning is a strength-based skill, and it is an exception to how the skills work, because you do not bump up a skill die. For every rank you invest into conditioning, you gain an additional health,
okay,
which is why I went straight to conditioning. So now I've got 4 health as a starting character, which is an impressive amount of health.
Right. That's at least 4 petty punches.
Sure, that's another way of calculating that. All right, Param, I need at least a D2 in targeting, a D2 in initiative, and a D2 in acrobatics.
D2 and a D2, and that, I think this might finish you. Let me do the math.
Oh, I thought I had one more.
Let's see here. We got 4, we have 4, 6, 7. You have 1 more point.
Okay, so because the weapon that I bumped up was the finesse weapon, I am going to add another rank into finesse.
Okay, that finishes you up with 3 strength, 6 speed, 4 smarts, 3 social.
I'm going to kill that rank in culture that I put in smarts.
Okay.
And I am going to increase finesse one more time to get a specialization. Ooh. Mostly to show how specialization works.
All right. You've specialized your finesse. What is your specialization?
Well, power weapons seems to be one of the specializations that's offered in... Oh, somebody in... And our Grushap in chat is even saying no specializations. I was getting there. So the specialization I'm going with is finesse power weapon. How specializations work is that you're not just rolling a d20 plus your skill die. You're rolling a d20, your skill die, and every skill die below it. So in this case, I've got a d4. Not great, but when a situation comes up and I'm making a finesse check with my power weapon, which is, I'm sorry, I'm just laughing at NR Groshap again, who is now caught up with the fact that we are doing a specialization. So when a specialization comes into play, I will be rolling a d20 plus a d2 plus a d4. If I had a d8 in my specialization, I would be doing the d8, the d6, the d4, and the 2, along with the d20. And for the math, I am taking the best roll that I get from the skill dice plus the d20 roll. And on top of that, the way critical success works in the Essence 20 games is that if your skill die is at its max number, so a 4 on a d4, a 6 on a d6, etc., other than the d2, you cannot crit with a d2 unless you have a perk that lets you do that, and your roll is successful, then you get a critical success, which is usually just a beneficial additional effect to what you were attempting to accomplish. So, Param, I am quite happy with how my Snake Eyes Power Ranger has turned out.
Indeed. Snake Eyes makes a great Power Ranger.
How do you like that? I mean, there's already the martial arts crossover. There's using, fancy weapons.
But, you know, we're not done.
Oh, what do you want to do next?
Snake Eyes gets a Zord.
Okay. I had not considered that. I'm going to need your guidance here. What kind of Zord do you recommend for Snake Eyes?
Well, because Snake Eyes is so closely related to the animals,
yes.
Which animal is most Snake Eyes?
The wolf.
So let's make Snake Eyes have a wolf Zord.
I like this. Before we do, so I just want to address NR Grushap's question in chat. He is saying, when we're rolling for specialization, it's any die or the highest die. So if I roll a d20 and I'm specialized in a d6, then I would roll d20, d2, d4, d6. If I get a d4 on the d4 and a 5 on the d6, then I am using the d6 to calculate my success, but the d4 is the one that flags whether or not it is a critical success, because the d4 is the one that is at the maximum for that roll. It's a mouthful to explain, but it's not that complicated, and you get used to it pretty quickly at the table. All right, back to our Zord pair. Snake Eyes is Zord, I should say.
All right, so the first thing you need to do is you need to pick your Zord's theme, okay?
Okay.
All right. And they're also Rangers. I'm just double checking here. So we're going to make a wolf Zord for Snake Eyes. Snake Eyes has a cool power wolf Zord.
I like it already.
All right. So the basic stats for a battle Zord are they are huge size with 6 health, 6 strength, 4 speed. The smarts and social are based off their pilot. So Snake Eyes is 3 and 3. They have toughness of 17 with 1 armor. They have 14 evasion. They move 40 feet on the ground. They have brawn D6, conditioning 3, driving autopilot D2, initiative D6. They have the call to action ability, which is how you call the Zord into the fight. And they also have recall for repairs for when the Zord inevitably gets bonked and needs to go back. They have a melee weapon attack, which is skill to hit based off of which skill you want to bring to the table here. Finesse or might. Reach of 10 feet and effect is 2 blunt or sharp damage. So I'm assuming what does this wolf Zord use as a weapon when it summons it to fight?
It bites. So let's definitely go with sharp damage. Mm-hmm. And let's go with, do I want to go finesse or do I want to go with might, just so that I have a little bit of might represented somewhere on my character in case I need it? Because, I mean, both of them apply to how a wolf attacks, right? No, mm-hmm. It's a finesse. It really is. A wolf is more of a clever attacker. All right, we're going with finesse.
All right. What is the wolf's ranged attack?
Something made up.
It's going to be an energy attack.
What's that?
It's going to be an energy attack.
Okay. Is it an energy attack or an element attack?
It says energy. It's 2 energy damage.
Okay. Energy is its own type.
Yeah.
Oh, so you're just asking for me to like characterize it?
What is it? Is it shooting laser eyes? Is this thing opening its mouth?
It's timber, so we'll say it's like a blast of cold.
Okay. Cold blast from the Zord.
Yeah. All right. We'll have him like a winter wolf.
Now here's the fun thing. As the Green Ranger, you get an additional attack type.
Oh, hold on a second. And our Grushap is saying howling for the energy attack.
Ooh, I like this.
Yeah.
One.
I think I like that better. So we will go with the howl. So it's more of it shakes. It like creates tremors in the targets, shaking them to their core. Sorry, what were you saying?
You now also get an additional attack type to design for your Zord. So ooh. What other special attack does your wolf have that other Zords don't have?
I want it to trip.
Okay. I do not have the rules handy to make a trip attack, but we're going to go with a tripping tackle.
Okay. Thank you.
Right. All right.
Sorry, I am not familiar with the Zord rules, and I did not expect to be making a Zord tonight, so I did not even brush up on this.
And then more importantly, when your Zord combines, what special ability does it grant? So which part of the Zord do you think you become? Are you going mm-hmm. to be an arm, a leg? Are you going to
I'm gonna say an arm. On as
an arm? Okay. Yeah. All right. So I think that what your Zord should bring to the table is the super power katana, which is an enhanced melee attack that once per scene they can use to do 3 times damage during the fight.
I like that very much.
Yes. So when your Zord combines up, it has before it fights, you've got the howling wolf attack. You've got the biting attack that it does. You've got the tripping attack that we have to design later. And more importantly, when the super G.I. Joe Megazord forms up, I imagine that Duke is the Red Ranger in this equation.
Oh, really? I was thinking of all the different Joes that have animals. And those animals would be Zords.
Awesome.
So we would have Freedom, the eagle. We would have Polly the parrot, meaning a lot of wings on this Zord.
But when that Megazord does form up, they can summon up your power katana and then do the amazing slash that usually makes the boss explode.
Nice. I like that.
And we have, and there we go. We've got Snake Eyes if Snake Eyes were to become the Green Ranger.
I am very happy with this build. I don't think I would play it. I would try to do something more original and more in line with Power Rangers. But if I had to play it, I think this would work very well. And maybe then I could even segue the people that I'm talking to and be like, well, you know, this is based on a G.I. Joe. And you know what else is coming up for Essence 20? We got a G.I. Joe role-playing game. Then they'd be like, then why did you make a G.I. Joe as a Power Ranger? And I said, because I had to.
Which they will need to have these special morphing grid powers, because as we know, it is G.I. Joe. And inevitably, the Decepticons will attack G.I. Joe canonically.
They have. It's true.
Cobra so when Commander they have
built Megatron canonically.
Yeah. So when they have to go up against the Constructicons, they can form up the Megazord and Snake Eyes can bring out the Wolf Zord.
Perfect. So that took us about an hour of character creation. I think that was also with a lot of going into every single mechanic to make sure everything was clear. Character creation, especially for just a first level character, generally takes me about 20 minutes. Right. I know that when I was knocking out a bunch of pregens. I spent an afternoon and I think I made 10 pregens, you know, not just trying to make an interesting character, but a character so that each one taught a different version of the game or a different aspect of the game. So really, Essence 20 characters come together pretty quickly. And probably the longest section of it is choosing exactly where you're going to put your skill points. Not because it's like, oh, where do I put all these skill points? But because, ooh, I really need to make careful decisions here because every skill is valuable. And that's also where I recommend, if you are playing with a regular group, character creation as a group, to make sure that just about every skill is covered by someone in the group is a good idea.
Right. And that really, like, for all of the above games that this covers, it is about a group working together. The Power Rangers are very explicitly supposed to be very different personalities and skill sets being brought in to represent the different Ranger color types. So it is one of the things about Power Rangers that is different from some of the other options is it explicitly tells you not to have two Rangers of the same color on the same team.
I don't think we have the same thing in G.I. Joe, although I definitely know you don't want all officers.
That would probably be bad.
You want the one officer on your team, maybe two. Man, what would two officers might be fun. I mean, Duke and Flint went on missions together a lot. Param, I want to wrap up with a little bit of interesting G.I. Joe trivia that works out here. So, as you may know, but for people who don't know, originally G.I. Joe came out with 13 original G.I. Joe characters, and each one was slated to have full camouflage and original heads, original equipment, and then Hasbro encountered the budget. And they realized that each of those paint applications was quite expensive. And a lot of those unique heads, if they could just kind of, you know, instead of three bearded heads, what if it's just the same bearded head, but one's blonde, one's black haired, and one's a brunette. And so they did a lot of cost cutting measures, and they nearly cut one of the characters, the Commando. But they said, wait, if instead of this green camouflage color scheme he was supposed to have, what if he just has no colors? He has zero paint applications and we just mold him in black. And that's his thing, that and a unique head. And that's how Snake Eyes really stood out on the shelf next to these majority like green fatigued guys that, because a lot of them shared heads, a lot of them really fell into the background and Snake Eyes really popped. But Snake Eyes was originally supposed to be green. And what we've got here is an homage figure to that original paint scheme that Snake Eyes was supposed to have. And I did not even think about this, but it was handy. And we did just make a Green Ranger Snake Eyes. So finally, Snake Eyes is fulfilling his original purpose of being a green camouflaged commando type character. So thank you for helping to bring original intent Snake Eyes to life, Farum.
Awesome.
I think we're ready to wrap things up and give some shout outs.
Okay.
Also, Farum, I think we need some bumpers for this show.
We absolutely do.
People who know us from
No Direction. I can't bring Vanessa on to do goblin voices again.
Yeah, so on No Direction, we transition from segment to segment with just a singing goblin bumper. Mm-hmm. We have no such bumper. I think we might maybe just like some cool action sound effects.
Right.
So not necessarily segment-specific bumpers, but just like some kind of transition. Crash, boom.
I wonder if I can get like some After Effects logos to just zoom in and zoom out.
Probably, but also how much time do you need to transition? Like, those bumpers serve a purpose.
Yes.
All right, anyway, that's Inside Baseball, which we'll maybe talk about when we go to our Discord-specific after show for our patrons, which we'll get to when we get to the shoutouts, which I guess we're in the shoutouts now, so thank you for joining
us.
For episode zero of Upshift, No Direction Network's Essence 20 News, Previews, and Interviews podcast. Before we go, we just want to bring your attention to some things of note that might be of interest to you, especially if you are an Essence 20 fan or want to know more about it, starting with a Twitter account called Essence 20 HQ. This is run by a friend of ours, and I think it's okay to reveal who the person behind Essence 20 is.
They have it on the Twitter account, so probably not. Not until they tell us.
All right. It's a mystery, a mysterious person that no one will ever know.
And it's probably not the dead god Aridin.
That is super inside baseball for the Pathfinder community on Twitter, Param. I know generally we like to be an inside baseball podcast, but that was very specific. So yeah, Essence20HQ is a Twitter account that is just gathering and retweeting a lot of Essence20 news. So really, if you're interested in learning more and you're an active Twitter user, I recommend giving them a follow. And just anytime you're wondering what's going on with Essence20, if you haven't seen it on your wall in a while, go check out the account, Essence20HQ. It's at Essence20HQ, exactly how it's spelt. And it'll keep you informed about what we're doing, because they have been retweeting Upshift and our plans for Essence20 coverage. Have been retweeting Renegade tweets. And just anytime that there is something newsworthy that's going on in the broader Essence20 community, you can rest assured that they will be there retweeting it and making sure to bring attention to it.
Right. I've been paying close attention to it to keep up with the news for the show I was about to host. I
also want to bring attention to the Feats and Fables podcast and Twitch channel. Feats and Fables up until now I believe, has been exclusively dedicated to Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition. But two of the cast members on Feats and Fables, they are in chat now, and they just said, woohoo! So Ben Heisler and Paige Lightman, both of which were my co-authors on the G.I. Joe team, they are cast members on Feats and Fables, and they have started Power Rangers actual play podcast. There is an episode zero, which went into character creation, and then episode one. And one thing I was not expecting is that they left the characters' ranger colors up to an audience poll, which was not closed by the time that they ran the first episode. They first went first episode, as far as I've listened to so far, purely as the teenager characters, and they will get into their Power Rangers personas either later in this episode, because I've got like minutes left in my listen. I listened to like 4 hours of Feats and Fables today, so I was not able to listen to the entire thing. I've got like an hour left. No, 40 minutes. So at some point, they might transform into Power Rangers, or it might be purely a teenager episode. And between this and the Day of Destiny actual play podcast that Renegade hosted, that's something that I'm realizing is a real fun aspect of the Power Rangers role-playing game that is going to be different from G.I. Joe and Transformers, in that it really is playing on the secret identity aspect of it, of your double lives, of who these people are, and that you are, you know, kids, essentially, your kids superheroes, teenagers, you know, with attitude. But still, it's like, even though these three games will be running the same system, because of the themes tied to the brand, it will a Power Rangers campaign will play out very differently, and that's what these actual plays have really shown. And it's yes, fair.
I will put out an asterisk for those of you who want to play characters who are not teenagers. Canonically, you could be an old freaking character or a 10-year-old, and all have been Power Rangers.
So then maybe Snake Eyes was in the Korean War and is now the Green Power Ranger.
Interesting choice, Morphing Grid.
Listen, it's Snake Eyes. He is going to be
pulling right out of the retirement home and into the Wolf Sword.
I'm also going to shout out to the Tales from a Professional Nerd YouTube channel. This is by one of the authors of the Power Rangers core rulebook and one of the designers of the Essence 20 system, Brian C.P. Steele. And it is just his mostly weekly, I believe, video blog where he just talks about his game design journeys, his personal gaming. It is a lot of just Brian extolling or philosophizing on game design, letting you know what he is up to. And so if you are interested in learning more about Power Rangers role-playing game or the process of creating for the Power Rangers role-playing game, Brian's got some episodes that are dedicated to that in his feed. Most of his most recent ones have been dedicated to Power Rangers role-playing game, because it's a big deal that this game came out that we've been working on for so long. And that's it for my shout-outs. Param, do you have any shout-outs?
I do. It's one of these days you're going to want miniatures for your Pathfinder game, not Pathfinder, your Power Rangers, and Renegade makes some great ones, but you're going to want to paint them. And one of my favorite people to follow for painting is Dana Howell. She is a YouTube painter who used to work for LucasArts as a makeup artist. So she Cool. has lots of legit skills to tap into here. And she has some of the most vibrant and colorful painting styles that I have taken lots of inspiration on and are perfect for Power Rangers and other like Saturday morning baddies. I know that she did up a whole set of pirates inspired by Pirates of Dark Water and all sorts of fun, like very vibrant, colorful characters as opposed to some of the grim darkness that a lot of painting can get into.
Yeah, I know that even when I'm trying to be vibrant with a fantasy miniature that I'm painting, there's a lot of browns, there's a lot of blacks, there's a lot of just metallic, plain metallics. Whereas for a Power Ranger, you really do want colors that pop.
Yeah, she is very much popularized the synth wave painting styles lately that have been taking hold. So we're like, you'll have like your monster just underlit with magenta with a teal cast on the side, and it still looks Ooh. Amazing.
And can you repeat what her channel is?
Dana Howell.
Dana Howell. Cool. I will check her out. I got miniatures that need painting. So we're about to wrap up the episode, but that doesn't mean you and I are done, Param, and it doesn't mean our audience has to be done. What's happening next?
Oh, we're going to be, I didn't know we were doing this, but yeah, we're going to be doing
it. Oh, are we not?
We are. We were. After every episode of, I was going to say No Direction, but Upshift, we're going to have after party, the private sanctum for our patrons who support us to come and chat with us and ask us what and talk with us. And we'll do a little mini show about whatever you all want to talk with us about. To become a patron of the network, you can go to patreon.com/nodirection or click on the patron link at nodirectionpodcast.com and make sure that you link your Patreon account with your Discord account. Pop over to the No Direction Discord account. Again, the link is available at nodirectionpodcast.com. Click on the Discord link on the side of the page and pop on into the patron section after the show and chat with us. We super look forward to it.
Now, I do have to make one correction, Param. Earlier this week, I put up a post on our Patreon asking people for what should we title the after show for the Upshift. If it should just be another episode of Patron's Private Sanctum, which is the after show tied to No Direction. If it should be something Essence 20 specific for when it's you and I to separate the two different after shows, or if people don't care. And only one vote for making this Patron's Private Sanctum, and then about half as many votes for the winner. Were people saying they don't care? So people are saying something Essence 20 specific. How do you feel about if the after show is the downshift?
Ooh, I like it.
All right. So after an episode of the Upshift, it's time for us to downshift and, come to a full stop for the evening. normally, this would be where we transition out of it. But we did talk about how we would, or we teased that we would talk about the other Essence 20 show that we'll be doing.
Oh, yeah. So half the reason I want to do an Essence 20 show with all these wonderful properties is an excuse to geek out about all this Saturday morning love I have for things like Transformers, Pathfinders, My Little Ponies, Power Rangers, and all the Super Sentai that I'm going to be able to rope into it. And to further facilitate that, we're going to be doing a watch show where me and Ryan will have watched a specific thing, a specific show, a specific group of episodes from one of these tie-in properties that that you would want to be interested in as an Essence 20 player. And then we're going to chat about it and talk about it and hopefully bring in listener feedback and questions about it. We will announce the show or movie or whatever it is, as well as, if possible, where you all can watch it ahead of time so that when the episode goes up, you can, you know, participate as it's happening.
And I believe the plan in a couple of weeks, Param, for our debut episode is to watch the Power Rangers movie from a couple of years ago, the Elizabeth Banks Power Rangers movie.
Yes, the new Power Rangers movie. I think that that does a great job of introducing the concepts of the Power Rangers and specifically the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers to a new audience. I think it's a great movie, even if it did take a little bit of criticism on launch. And hey, we'll be able to talk about all of that after me and Ryan watch it, and hopefully all you all watch it and get back here in a couple of weeks.
Awesome. So that's your homework for the next 2 weeks. At some point, you have to watch the Power Rangers movie, which I know was on Netflix, at least Netflix Canada, in the last 6 months or so, but I'll have to confirm if it's still there. We'll announce it probably over our Twitter, talking about where we recommend you watch it. But yeah, until next time, I'm Ryan Costello.
And I'm Jefferson J. Thacker, also known as Perrin.
I don't have an outro. I don't have a tagline to conclude the Upshift. That's something on my to-do list for episode one. So if you want to find the path, you need the Upshift.
Later, y'all. Oh, and shocker of don't worry, we're gonna watch some original Ranger stuff eventually too, not just the new movie.